Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory and pour your spirit out. Almighty God, we need you right now. Reveal your glory and pour your spirit out. Oh Lord, Almighty God, we need you right now. We need you right now.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you this day, Lord God, humbling ourselves before you, acknowledging that you are the almighty creator, you are the all-wise God, and besides you there is no other. Heavenly Father, this day we petition you once again, not only for the presence of your spirit, but for what your spirit can give unto us. Therefore, we desire light, we desire understanding, we desire revelation that only you can give. So therefore, Lord, as we pray, we ask that through your spirit, you will bless us with these things. Lord, as we take the journey into your word, for this is your desire for us to know your word, to know the will of the Lord. We ask that these things be given unto us, that we may come to know the full plan of Almighty God. Father, I pray for everyone that is listening to this broadcast, far and near. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts, and that which they seek of you in righteousness, I pray that they find. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday night, and to those of you in other parts of the world where it may be Friday morning or Friday evening, God bless you and welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast. My name is Brother Nate, and I will be here, praise be to God, with you at least for this hour, according to the leading of the Spirit, to give unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of the living God. I'm now going to take this time to give you a phone number that you can call this number. If you have a prayer request, comment, or a question about the lesson, call at this number 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you are not comfortable asking these questions on the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. We're going to go into the word today, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had been sending through the Elijah, according to Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4. That he's been sending his angel with words for the people of the Lord. Amen. We are grateful to that, unveiling the full plan of God. Amen. I am coming from one of the messages that Jesus sent that is called the 51st message, meaning that that was the 51st time that thus far Jesus had been sending the Elijah 120 times. That's thus far is not the end, But this 51st message, meaning the 51st time that he sent the Elijah, the message for the people of God. And he sent this message out June the 11th, 1941. And for those of you who have been following us on Blog Talk Radio and you listen to me come with the Word of God, you know I don't have no problem giving you dates because I want you to ask the Lord about it. Once again, there's no secrecy, no hidden, no under the cover stuff. This is straight out coming to you with the Word of the Lord, a commission by Jesus Christ to tell all of you that are listening his word. Amen. So I want you to seek the Lord. I want you to ask Jesus about it. Amen. Praise be to God. And so I'm going to start off with the first verse because in this message, there's approximately about 20 verses. I'm not here to tell you that I will be doing all 20 tonight, but according to how the Spirit of the Lord goes. Amen. Praise be to God. And I'm going to start with the first verse. It says, "Behold, I come again to give instructions to the church." Now, this is the angel of the Lord, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, who comes at the appointed time of the Lord. That whenever the Lord tells John to go, he go. He doesn't come at my appointed time. The other brothers you hear on the broadcast, he don't come at their appointed time. He doesn't come at your appointed time. He come at the appointed time of the Lord. I say this again, stress on this again. No angel of the Lord is walking around in heaven saying, you know, I got all my work done up here, and I think I'll go visit Brother Nate. I ain't seen him in a while, and go talk to him. And just up and leave and come to see me. And you don't have to worry about Jesus not knowing where his angels are. Amen. You know, you think about it just like those of you that have children. And if your child just left the house, you know, without you knowing it, and somebody come to you and say, hey, where's your son? Where's your daughter? You go, wait a minute, they supposed to be, I don't know where they at. Well, you don't have to worry about that with God, with the angels of the Lord. When an angel of the Lord visits you, if I don't care who you are, and I say this to you, especially any of you that is a Christian, you don't have to be in the Church of Christ of Life message. There are other believers. There are people that's not believers who have become believers through God sending an angel. So I don't care who you are. If you get a visit from an angel of the Lord, rest assured God sent him. Rest assured that he is not coming on his own terms or his own timing. He is not coming on your timing. You know, I listened today. I saw a video. And some of y'all may know this singer. I think one time he doing, you know, he mostly do R&B, but I think he called himself one time doing a gospel song where he got a song called, there's an old song called I Need an Angel. And all through the song, he says, send me an angel. I need an angel. Send me an angel. Okay? Well, you know, first of all, we want the Spirit of the living God to reveal to us. You know, if God chooses to send an angel, praise be to God. But we're not supposed to be centered on just an angel. I got to have an angel. Okay? You want to hear from the Lord no matter way, any way he bring the answer. Now, the Elijah says here, and I'm going to read it once again. He said, behold, I come again to give instructions to the church. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, that the church is the body who of Christ. And we've come to understand here from what the angel tells us that the church has to be instructed. Okay. Jesus doesn't leave his people out on their own just to figure things out. The church has to be instructed. There needs to be instruction. So he said, behold, I come again to give instructions to the church. He goes on and said, the Lord your God has sent me. I come from his presence, and my name is John. Now he said, the Lord your God has sent me. I come from his presence. So the angel is telling you, go back and ask God. Okay? Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, you know, so-and-so sent me. And, you know, you went to check and went back and asked them, say, hey, did you send so-and-so? Okay. This is what the Elijah is saying to you. He's saying that I have come from the presence of the Lord your God. In other words, he said, you can go ask him. Amen? Hallelujah. And some Christians are making a mistake of dismissing messages that come because simply it doesn't fit their logic, or it didn't come through somebody in their church or their denomination, and they're dismissing it. And you set yourself up for grave error. We got to learn to apply things according to what the scripture says to see whether some of God or not, not just up and just dismiss it because it didn't come through your denomination or it didn't come through somebody, a member in your church or somebody you like or even somebody you consider great, great. You know, today we're living in a time now that, you know, Christians are rating other Christians. You know what I mean? For example, you know, and this is not a knocker, but for example, I can say a particular thing and tell you it comes from the Lord. T.D. Jakes can turn around and say the same thing. You'll have more people flocking to him because of what? His position. He's played because he's well known. He's all on TV and things like that, and he wrote books. And whether you believe it or not, people become biased like that. Let me go deeper. Specifically, those professing Christ becomes biased like that. If you don't have the big mansion, if you ain't known to have the gold rings and high up a position, they won't hear you. And see, the danger of that is that you will dismiss something that actually comes from God. Just like, you know, certain people won't hear you if you are a storefront preacher. A storefront preacher with just 5 or 10 members. And you come when the dust says the Lord, they, yeah, okay. And dismiss it, okay? So the angel of the Lord said, he said, I come from the presence of the Lord your God. He sent me, okay? Then he said, my name is John. I am the messenger of the Lord. I speak his words. Now, when you go to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, when he was talking to the multitudes, he told them, he said, now, this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So he is revealing to them, and apparently by him doing that, apparently he is letting us see that either they heard about what Malachi had to tell the people, or maybe they read about it. But they didn't know who this messenger is. Just like when you look in Matthew 17, or even in Matthew 11, Jesus had to reveal to them who the Elijah is, okay? And so there's sometimes that, you know, there's times where God will speak a word or send a word to you, and then it requires further revelation for you to get the full scope of what it be saying, okay? Amen. And God does it in a timing method, and it's on his timing, okay? Some of you understand what I'm saying. Some of you had read something from the Lord, but you didn't quite get the understanding or revelation of what he was saying, but a time came where that, boom, you might have been riding in the car. And that scripture came to you, and all of a sudden that revelation come, what Jesus was saying, you go, wow. Well, see, upon that timing, now notice that Jesus gave this revelation in Matthew 11 to those that were following him, the multitude. And in Matthew 17, to his disciples, though, that were following him, followers of Christ. So Jesus is revealing to his followers, okay? He's revealing to his followers about the Elijah in these last days being the messenger of the Lord that Malachi spoke of in Malachi chapter 3 that is to come in these last days, amen? Because Malachi spoke, and what he told us about the messenger of the Lord, John the Baptist, he was speaking to the second coming. Because notice in those verses, I think when you get to verse 5, when he said the Lord was saying that I will come as a witness against the sorcerer. I will come near to you in judgment. Well, we know when Christ first walked this earth, he didn't do that. He came as the Lamb. But see, on his second coming, he's going to come as a swift witness against the sorcerer. He's going to come in judgment. Okay? So when he talks about in verse 1 in that third chapter that my messenger, behold, I was sending my messenger, we know that the messenger from Matthew 11 is John the Baptist. So he's talking about sending John the Baptist again in these last days. And the only way he can come and appear in these last days is that it has to be as a resurrected being. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, the second verse says, I come that the plan of God will be fulfilled, for the words the prophets of old have spoken shall come to pass. You know, God used Peter in Acts chapter 3, and Peter was talks about the restitution of all things. And Peter says something interesting. He said, which was spoken by the mouth of the holy prophet since the world began. So Peter was even pointing you back to the Old Testament. This is why some of you hear me say this quite a bit on the broadcast about the Old Testament, because we have some, even in the body of Christ, that even if you start to do a teaching series or a preaching sermon from a scripture in the Old Testament, they're so quick to jump up and strike you down, say, hey, we're a New Testament church. We're no longer in the Old Testament. And people don't realize what part in dealing with the Old Testament we're not to deal with anymore. We're not to deal with the law of Moses. We're not to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. But for you to dismiss the whole Old Testament, it's a grave error. Because when you look at the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, they speak just about the Old Testament? No, they spoke about today. Today. So we're doing a great error when we just totally dismiss the Old Testament. There are some people, they won't read nothing from the Old Testament. You're messing up. You're messing up. So here the Elijah says, I come that the plan of God will be fulfilled. So he's telling you, God has a plan. Okay? For the words the prophets of old have spoken shall come to pass. It's going to happen. God gave it to them. They spoke it. It's going to happen. Now, he said, now he let us know that God has a plan. You know, I said it on the other broadcast before. There are some that think God is doing nothing. In fact, let me go a little bit more deeper. There are some in the church who sees the condition of Christianity today, that we all separated, broken up in fragments, fighting each other, you name it, letting anything and everything come into the church building, anything and everything going in a service. And they look at this and they think that, well, this is the way it's going to be. Not so. Not so. And you're thinking that God is not doing something, but he is. This is the reason why he's been sending the Elijah to restore all things. This is the reason why he's been sending his messenger to prepare a people, okay? Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't coming back to Christianity right now in the condition like it is now. No, he's going to do some straightening out, people. Amen. He's going to do some straightening out. And God has a plan. And in that plan is for Christianity to flow together as one. Not all separated and broke up in bunches and fragments like we are, but he's talking about coming together as one. Amen. Really being one in the spirit. Because look at us today, glory. If the Antichrist, the main one now, there's a lot of Antichrist spirits in the world, don't get me wrong, but when the main one arrives, if he were to arise right now, Christianity would be in some serious trouble. Why? Because we're so separated. You know, he wouldn't have to put in too much sweat to break us all up, because the only thing he had to do is whisper in each one of our ears. Well, you don't believe like they do because you are so-and-so. Hey, wait a minute, you are so-and-so. You're not like them. They are so-and-so. No, that's all he had to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord said the words the prophets of old have spoken shall come to pass. Shall come to pass. Amen. True prophets of the Lord. Amen. He goes on and says, let this message be sent to the ends of the earth and the gospel preached. Now, God wants this message, along with the other ones he sent, to go to everybody. Everybody. God is not biased. Amen. He's not biased. He's not saying, well, okay, I just want y'all to know it. I don't want nobody else to know it. No. See, that's what you get into, that secret society kind of stuff. We ain't in it and all that cult stuff. No. Jesus wants all nations to want the gospel, to have the gospel. That's God's love stretching out to man. Because he knows that without the gospel, man cannot make it. Jesus did the sacrifice and did all that he did and provided the gospel that a man accept all that they will be saved. He, you know, he's not like other people. You know, other people say, I don't care about him. He can die. Oh, I care. I don't care about him. I just care about my own. But see, the Bible said, love seeketh not our own. In other words, love is not selfish. And on top of that, love just don't seek those who love them, but even seek out for those that don't love them. We even help them that don't love them, okay? That's what Jesus does. He's the pure example of love. You can't get no higher. You can't get no greater than him. And so he wants this message, as well as others' messages he has sent, to go to the ends of the earth, and he wants the gospel preached. Amen. That's why I have respect, once again, for the missionaries who are taking the gospel according to the light that they know of the gospel to these other nations, knowing that their life is in danger, they have left family here and all that, and they said, Lord, send me. I have great respect for them. Amen, great respect to preach the gospel. God does not want the people, even in the other nations, to stay in their sins. He don't want them stay worshiping Buddha and Hindu and all these Krishna, Hare Krishna, and all these other gods. He don't want them because he know what that would lead them to. He don't want them to be left in a state. He wants them to have an opportunity to be delivered out of that. So that's why he said, let the gospel be preached in all the earth. Now he goes on and says, for the Lord will reveal to the honest in heart of his truth and of my coming that the work may be established. Now notice something here that Jesus had the angel of the Lord tell us who he's going to reveal to concerning the sending of the Elijah, okay? Who is he going to reveal it to? And concerning this truth, this work. He said the honest in heart. See, the honest in heart is going to have this thing revealed to him, people. Not the dishonest, okay? Hallelujah. Eat of a shot that glory. Remember the parable that Jesus gave in Mark and also in Luke? And when he got to the good ground, he tell you who the good ground represented. He said the good ground was they who, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience, okay? He said this is the good ground. God is going to reveal this work. If glory, hallelujah, shut up. God is going to reveal the sending of this angel and about this work that he have for him to do. He's going to reveal it to those who have heard the word, who keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This is what he meant about, he said, the Lord will reveal to the honest in heart of his truth and of the coming of the Elijah, that the work may be established. See, you also, for the work to be established, there has to be revelation, okay? One of the things, that for you to be established in the work of the Lord, you have to have revelation about it, okay? You got to have revelation. The witness and revelation, it has to be revealed to you. See, this is why, and this is no braggadocious on myself, but this is why, for example, in the Church of Christ Elijah message, we done had so many splits, it's not funny, okay? And the things that I've encountered and seen through those splits, if I didn't have the witness of the Holy Ghost and the revelation of that this work is true, I would have just said, man, forget this and gone somewhere else, okay? I'm just being honest and real with you. I would have just said, man, forget this. And I know that there may have been many people through this encounter would have just threw up their hands and said, forget this. And so guess what? There are some who have from the Spirit. They just not only left the Church of Christ Lives of Mercy and went and joined other churches, okay? And so, therefore, you know, that's why on a personal level, you need the witness and the revelation that this work is true. And for the work to be established, you know, that Jesus set up, not the Elijah, but that Jesus set up, there has to be revelation. But something else I want to bring to your attention, too, that he said that this is going to be revealed to the honest in heart. And I told you from Luke chapter 8 who the honest in heart is. This is what Jesus said it, they are. And notice that this is what the church is going to be made of, honest in heart people, not no dishonest people. You know, like I told y'all sometimes before on the broadcast when they interviewed Snoop one day, you know, Snoop's supposed to have, quote, done this gospel album with all these gospel singers. And I think it was a lady or somebody interviewed and said, what do you think about what people saying about you coming together with and doing this gospel album, blah, blah, blah. And he had these glasses on with a little church robe or whatever on, had it tilt down to his nose like he was very educated in the word and said, is the church just made of saints? Well, see, if you look in the word, the true church is, okay, the sinners are invited. They're invited to hear the word that they may become believers. The church is not made up of saints and sinners. That's how it's trying to operate right now. This is why Jesus is doing a cleansing, because when the smoke clears, and as my brother Manny said, at the end of the day, guess the church that Christ's coming back for? A church that made of saints. So someone needs to tell Snoop Dogg that. Amen? Somebody needs to let him know. Because it's amazing that, see, sinners, see, they can easily mix with Christians. Now they become like they're so educated in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. That's how they act now. They act like they're so educated. Like I say, you had them glasses down and they're so somebody need to tell him. Amen. Somebody need to tell him. Okay. Now, going to the third verse. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord God hears the prayers of those that seek him. That's an assurance. Somebody's listening to that right now. You may have been seeking God through prayer and fasting in the word. You may have been in consecration. And it kind of looked like that it's empty. Like ain't nothing happened. He ain't said nothing like that. Well, here's the confirmation from the Lord to you tonight. And I'm going to read it again, what the angel of the Lord said. He said, the Lord God hears the prayers of those that seek him. So in other words, God said, if you're seeking me, it's not going to be in vain. And God does a confirmation. And he's confirming that he hears the prayers. He hears the prayers of those that seek him. Those that seek him, he hears their prayer. He doesn't stop and turn a deaf ear to the prayers of those that seek him. He don't do that. Okay? He hears the prayers of those that seek him. Now, I noticed that word, prayers, is plural. And plural means, by being prayers, mean more than one or more than one type. Okay? So God is hearing those who seek him, even when they're praying a prayer of intercession, supplication, you name it, prayer of a petition, you name it. God hears the prayers of them that seek him. Now he goes on and says, he has heard the prayers of his servants and the plea of his people. See, one of the things about the Lord, he tells us we have to walk by faith, and that's what we have to do. But God knows at some point he got to give you, he gives a confirmation in your spirit. Now, faith is walking by what you believe the word says, and that's what we're supposed to do. But you know at some point God has to give you a confirmation in your spirit, okay? Amen. He knows that. Glory. And see, God is just confirming that he hears the prayers of his servants, okay? He hears it. So somebody may be listening to this right now, and once again, you have been praying about a particular thing, and you have been seeking God. In fact, you've been at home, and you just shut yourself up in the house. You ain't been going nowhere. You've just been praying, fasting, coming before the Lord, and it seems like to you that maybe you're on day two. Maybe you're on day three. Who knows? And it just seemed to you that, okay, he's not hearing. And maybe you have to bring to just throw up your hands. And even the devil is trying to be a cheerleader on the side, not cheerleading you on to continue, but cheerleading you to quit because he see you about to throw your hands up. And so now he's mumbling over to you and say, yeah, you know what, this ain't even worth it. You just waste time. He don't hear you. Well, God wants you to know tonight he hears the prayers. He hears your prayers. Amen. He have heard it. He's going to answer. You just hold on. He's going to answer. Praise be to God. Now, I just sense the Holy Ghost witnessing to me in my spirit about that. Amen. Somebody needed to hear this. You've been seeking God. Somebody out there may have been seeking God about a particular sickness. Maybe a particular sickness has attacked your body. And you're wondering, Lord, what door have I opened? What door have I opened? What is this thing? Where does it come from? I heard some people say it could be generation, all that. God, I need some answers. And you've been seeking God, and God said he had heard your prayers, and he's going to answer. He's going to answer, amen? Praise be to God. Now, the next verse, the angel of the Lord tells us that Jesus said, therefore, the new light is promised. Continue to prepare for it. Now, let me stop there for a minute in that verse. Now, he said, new light is promised. Continue to prepare for it. New light, new revelation, new understanding on particular things of the workings of God and the plan of God is promised. One thing about the Lord is that when he promised something, he keeps it. See, that's the thing, we have to look at the Lord. See, we can't look at the Lord like we look at man. See, I can promise you something and be subject to break that promise. But see, Jesus, when he promised you something, he aims to keep it. And he does keep it. And if it don't come to pass, guess who you got to look at? Not him, but you. Amen? Now, he said the new light is promised. He said continue to prepare for it. People think this new light just going to spring up on them, and they just going around doing their own thing. You got to get in position to get ready to hear. Some of you just have stopped studying. You didn't stop praying. Man, you into everything else. You all into the TV, watching all kind of movies, games. You into everything else. And you talking about, I'm waiting on the Lord. To do what? Okay. He said, the new light is promised. He said, continue to prepare for it. Okay. This is why God gives us new light on different things in a timely manner. Because if he gave us out of time, we couldn't handle it. That's why I said to some of you that's listening, you've been asking God about something, maybe something personal. And you wonder, why is it not told to me right now? Because God wants you to get in a place to prepare for it. Okay? Because God's going to give it in a certain time. If he gave it ahead of time, you probably wouldn't be able to, more or less, you wouldn't be able to receive it. It may be something about you personally. Heed of us, your glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, he goes on to say, the greater your understanding, the greater your work shall be. Now, this greater understanding comes from even a greater study of the Word of God. And see, when you end up, see, that the Word of God shows us there are different levels, whether it is a positive thing or a negative thing. You have, for example, on the negative side, you have sin, and then there's time that Jesus would say the greater sin, okay? And in the area of great, you got, you know, your normal level, then you got great, and then you got greater. And so here he said, the greater your understanding. He said the great your understanding. He said the greater your understanding. So that means there are some who have great understanding. But see, God said that ain't the only level it is. You can go higher. See, that's one thing about Jesus. You can move up higher. Amen? But you got to move up according to his way. Now, you can't just do it your own way. You got to do it according to his way. But he said the greater your understanding, the greater your work shall be. So what this tells me here, that God said your level of work is based also on your understanding. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I thank God for his word. Amen. Terrible shot up. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you wants to do greater work, but your level of understanding is not there to fit the work. You understand what I'm saying? God wants you to get there, but you want something greater, and in some instances, you can't even handle that which is for you now. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, all must sanctify their lives unto the Lord, for sin cannot receive the glory of the Lord, nor the power of the Lamb slain. Uh-oh. He said, all must sanctify. Sanctify means set apart, consecrate. Uh-oh, we get into what? Holiness. We get into the thing that making, and it shouldn't make, some church folks frown. Some church folks kind of ease back. Because now we're living in a time that people want to claim Jesus, but they don't want to live holy. They don't want to live righteous. They want to blend in with Big Mike and Lil Roy and Susie, you know, when they go smoking reefers and go doing everything under the sun. They want to blend in with them, but at the same time want to say, Jesus? Yeah, okay. He said, all must sanctify their lives. Now, notice that God, once again, he's not biased. He just said that some of you got to sanctify your life. See, that's a part in sanctification that Christ does through the power of his blood and the work that he did. And then there's a role that we play. Okay? Amen. And then consecration, too, when you set yourself apart, that means you can't join into everything or with everyone. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I pray that you really hear this, because everybody wouldn't want to hear this message, okay? Because they wants to be loved, they wants to be liked, they wants to blend in and hang out with everybody. Even some professing Christian, they talking so, let me see the word I could use, hip hopish, but I can understand it to some degree. I can handle it to some degree. But there have been some people sometimes, they talk so, even the thuggish, hip-hopish, all this kind of talk so bad, that, man, I just had to get away from because it's ridiculous. You know, just constantly busting all this type of slang. Come on, okay? Let's talk normal. Let's be straight, okay? Amen. Now, he said, all must sanctify their lives to the Lord, for sin cannot receive the glory of the Lord nor the power of the Lamb. Sin can't receive it. Mm-mm, can't receive it. Hallelujah. Now, the next verse, he says, some do not understand, but let them be humble, and the greater light shall come in its fullness. Now, he talks about this greater light, and before I read to you, he talked about the greater understanding. He says, it shall come in its fullness. Now, here's the other key to receiving this greater light. You got to be humble. Humility is opposite of pride. You can't be at a point where you think you know it all and you think you know more than him. Okay? See, some of you, and I got to say this, you think that you look at Christianity and you think this is how it's going to be, and this is how that Jesus just going to come and just get his church in this condition like it is. Well, you got to come off of that, because Christ didn't set the church up to be like this. I said again, Christ didn't set the church up to be like this. So if he didn't set the church to be like this, why would he come back for a church that's like this? Why would he come back for a body that is all broken up in fragments, separated, won't truly come together? Oh, at times we may come together in prayer. Maybe at times a little bit to a degree, maybe we come together in Sunday school. But as far as it's going, I'm talking about the true coming together, where we be one church under the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. What is it? Well, see, when you're thinking that you know God's full plan, then you'll miss out in receiving greater light. See, some of you have received light. Some of you have received a great light from the Lord. But once again, God lets you know that there's always something greater. And here's the other thing that you need to remember. Just because God gives you revelation on something, don't think that you got all there is to be given. Don't never let yourself get to that position, because you will not receive nothing else. You won't get nothing else. See, that's pride. Okay. Once again, I imagine some of you that's listening, God has shown y'all great light on things, have given you great light on things. But that don't mean you know everything there is to be given. And see, I've seen with some people that when they have gotten great light, oh, man, that head swell up, that nose is in the air, you know. I think back to, I testified to y'all this once before. Me and this brother went on missionary work at this hospital, and we was going there. We was giving the word, God's word, out to the people. We was also praying. And so when we was getting ready to go home, we went into the garage part, get in the vehicle, and I saw this lady walking up. She was on the phone. She was walking towards us, and I told the brother, I said, let me give her this message. And I can imagine And it's very possible the way she kind of act like maybe she had come to the Lord or something like that. But the example I want to give is this. When she came up, and in fact, when she came up to me and I gave her the message, I said, the Lord wanted me to give you this message. She looked at it for a second, and she told me, if I'm not mistaken, she said, I'm an evangelist. Get this to someone who needs it. Huh. Did you hear that? You know, when you get to the point, and if she truly was an evangelist, there's no doubt I believe at some point God had revealed things to her in her life. I believe that. But when you get some light, and you think it, listen, every scripture per se is for me that God has spoken to the word. Every word, you know, what he is telling me to do, believe in the Lord and all that. I don't, just because I get saved, that don't mean I stop believing. When he said believe in the Lord, I look at it, God's talking to me. Okay? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, he goes on to say, live in the Lord, walk in the way of salvation. Now, there you go again. He said, live in the Lord, not live in yourself. See, you can't be living as a sinner and living in the Lord. That's not going to happen. Here's the thing, once again, about some people that become Christians. They struggle with that living in the Lord part. Yeah, because, see, some of them are worried about their friends. Friends, come on, man, come on, hang out. Come on, dog, you know, like we used to do. Let's go hang out. And now they too ashamed to tell us, man, I don't, the Lord don't want me to go to those places no more. So to, you know, keep good graces with big friends, they go with them. Amen. They go with them. He told us to live in the Lord. Walk in the way of salvation. Live in the way of deliverance. Hallelujah. See, when we walk in holiness, we're walking into the deliverance that we've been delivered from that sinful life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on and said, the Lord has not yet entrusted the greatest unto his servants, but it shall be, for all must learn the full plan of God. All must learn. See, God knows that this is a must. See, there's some things in life, that there are even some things in life naturally, it's a must that you have to do. And we should, most of us should all know that, okay? It's a must, okay? In other words, right now, and that's for right now, you're living in the house, you must pay the bills. You got light, gas, bill, and all that. You don't pay the bill, what happened? You ain't going to have no light and no gas. Especially if you're on places where you got your own place, you got to pay tax, you don't pay no tax, what you lose? You lose the land and the house. So right now, there's some things in the natural you must do. And so God is letting us know that we all must learn the full plan of God. It is not the plan of God for us to be separated and broken up in fragments. That is not the full plan of God. It's not the plan of God, okay? The plan of God is to come back for a church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. The plan of God is coming back for Christians who will flow together and really be one. That's the plan of God, amen? Praise be to God. He goes on to say, in the next verse, as I've told you, there are those that are called for special work, and there are those in the body of Christ who are called for a special work. He said, there are those that have been raised up that this work might be carried on. Many have been true, and some have not. You know, that goes in throughout, especially in the body of Christ. There are those who have been called for special work. There are those who have asked God about particular calls in their life, and Jesus had revealed to them. But guess what? They haven't been true to it. They haven't been true to it. Okay? He goes on to say, the hearts that are honest before the Lord will find place with him as they obey his wise design. And there goes the honest heart again. And Jesus said, they are the ones going to find a place with him. That's why I said, somebody need to tell Snoop Dogg, okay, the church is not made up of saints and sinners, okay? But the people that is going to really have their place with the Lord is the honest in heart. So you can't go around being dishonest and talking about, I'm going with the Lord. I want to know what Lord you're going with. You know, that's what I want to know. You're talking about the little Lord, the devil, Satan, because you're not going with God. See, understand this. Let's think on this for a minute. Let's say the kingdom of heaven right now, up there, the third heaven with God at. Ain't no dishonest folks up there, people. The last dishonest person that was there is not there anymore. Lucifer, otherwise known as Satan. There is no dishonesty in heaven. So why is it that, quote, the particular church folks think that they can operate in dishonesty and still talking about, I'm going to the pearly gates? Operate in dishonesty and think you're going to be among the people of the Lord who Christ coming back for. Jesus said the honest in heart is going to have place with him, not the dishonest, the honest in heart. Hallelujah. That's why some Christians have destroyed their witness because of their dishonesty. We cheat you out of money in a minute. Amen. Even the sinners are talking so bad about the man, my goodness, you can't even trust him. And he's supposed to be a preacher. Amen. Beat you out your money in a minute. And some of them are like that. Amen. Would beat you out of money with a straight face. Okay. Hallelujah. But be dishonest. We're lying a heartbeat. And yet still you talking about Christ coming back for you. Okay. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop it here today. Truly indeed, I've been blessed of the Lord to have this opportunity to come with you, or come before you with the word of the Lord. I want to close this broadcast out praying the prayer of the 91st Psalm. And those of you that's listening, you can pray it too. Just repeat after me. Amen. This Psalm has been a blessing to me in this time. And I want to pray this prayer of Psalms to end this broadcast. Amen. So you can pray it. Just repeat after me. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you said in your word that as I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dear Father, I say unto you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God. Father, in you will I trust. Surely, Lord God, you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Lord, you shall cover me with your feathers, and under your wings shall I trust. Father, your truth shall be my shield and buckler. For I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. For only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you my Lord, who is my refuge, and my Most High God, my habitation. Therefore, Lord, shall no evil befall me, and neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For, Lord, you should give your angels charge over me to keep me in all your ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, Lord God, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And by the authority given me of Jesus Christ, after the order of the Son of God, I shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall I trample under my feet. Because, Lord, you have set your love upon me. Therefore, you would deliver me. Father, you would set me on high because you have known my name. And I shall call upon you, Lord, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. And with long life will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. Don't forget, the Lord said the same tomorrow night, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you.